In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. My beloved, in the Coptic Rite, the Church selects and handpicks very specific readings for us every single Sunday of Lent. And despite the fact that this is not necessarily the same selection that we find within the churches of our brothers in the Eastern Rite, there is still a very much a beauty that can be found in how it is the Spirit of the Lord moves the Church to be able to select very specific readings to be able to speak to our hearts. And the reading of this morning that we read in the sixth week of Lent in the Coptic Church was the reading from John 9, the healing of the blind man. Now this very specific miracle speaks to us in a magnitude that is incomprehensible. Because truly what happens here is exactly what happens to the state of all of mankind. What we find here is a man who is born in an infirmity that cannot possibly be explained. Now in the tradition of the Church, when we say that this man was born blind, we do not believe that he was born simply with the incapacity of seeing. We truly believe that the man was born without eyes. And here he meets Christ. A man who is absolutely hopeless. A man who has absolutely no chance of surviving. And he has to beg. And he has to hope for mercy from those who surround him. And he encounters Christ. And in that encounter, the Church wants to tell you and me that we find ourselves in the exact same situation, where we find ourselves at the feet of the Savior in a state of absolute despair. And we get to sit at the feet of Christ, thinking that there is absolutely no hope, thinking that there is no cure for what we have. Maybe if I had eyes to begin with, there was a chance for healing. But who was there out there who can possibly create new eyes for me? Now, when you read the commentary of the Church Fathers on this, many of them point to the fact of how it is that Christ healed, how he took from the dust of the ground. Going back to those very, very first verses in Genesis. And how it is that we believe in our tradition that it is the Word of God that created everything. When you go back to Genesis, it clearly says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he created anything, he said what? Let there be. He created through his Word. And now we have the Word of God incarnate. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who has taken the form of man, and he takes from dust yet again, and he mixes it with his own saliva. He takes from the dust that we are, and he adds from his own to it. But what is beautiful in the passage is he doesn't stop there. He looks at the man after anointing his eyes, and what does he tell him? Go and wash. Go and wash. To why, Lord? Why would you possibly ask me to go and wash? Do you not have the capacity right there and then, as the Word of God incarnate? Do you not have the capacity of fulfilling the miracle? Why would you need me to go and wash? Why would you need me to put in an effort for your glory to be manifest? And all of the fathers will agree on this. Wherever there is a notion of washing in Scripture with Christ, this is a foreshadowing of our baptism. And here this man, despite the fact that he encounters Christ without ever seeing him, he is told, if you want to be restored, go and wash. And here you see the Church adopt the exact same mentality. Our humanity is broken in a way that we cannot possibly comprehend. Our humanity is incomplete. We are born in corruption, and unless we are born again, unless we are washed in that font that the Church has prepared for us, I remain broken. I remain incomplete. I remain absolutely blind with no capacity whatsoever of ever seeing God. And the man goes and washes. And as his eyes are restored and he can then see, you clearly see how the world turns against him. And here you see a foreshadowing of everything that a Christian can expect in his life. The moment that you decide to enter into that baptismal font, you have declared war. Father Alexander Schmemann, in his book entitled Of Water and Spirit, he speaks about how in the rite of the baptism, the Orthodox Christian is required to a certain extent even to look towards the West and to spit on Satan. To spit on Satan. And Father Alexander says what? That moment where you renounce Satan, that moment where you stand and you say, I have nothing to do with you and you have no dominion over me, those words are not forgotten. And Satan remembers them very well. And he declares war. And this man that is healed feels that war. The Pharisees take him. And according to scripture, they go through three steps, three phases, in which you and I will also go in our lifetime. First and foremost, what do they do with the man? Scripture reads the following. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I want you to notice how scripture emphasizes here that what does he say? A man called Jesus. Keep this in mind because later those words will be very important. So I went and washed and I received sight. And then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was him who formerly was blind on the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also asked him again, how did he restore your sight? And they interrogate him and they put him in a corner and they question him. And despite the fact that he answers truthfully, they do not believe and they continue to push and to push and to push. And the world will do the same with you and I. As soon as you declare that your eyes have been opened by our Lord God and Savior, the world will turn against you and it will interrogate you and it will corner you. But they did not stop there. When he was relentless in his faith in saying, this is what happened and I do not shy away from the truth, who did they go to? They went to his parents. They went to his loved ones. Now here's what's interesting. In the context of the story, what you discover is that by going to the parents, when the Pharisees question them, if the parents take the side of their son who is healed, there is a risk of them being cast out. There is a risk of them being told you are out of the synagogue because whoever affiliated himself with Christ was an enemy to the Jews. And the world will do the same thing with you and I. If you remain strong in your faith and in your proclamation, the world will find a way to even turn your loved ones against you. It will take from your very own and it will turn them against you. Is that not what even happened to Christ our Savior? In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, does it not say, and he came to his own and his own did not receive him? The same thing will happen to you and I. And out of fear, his parents say he is of age. Ask him. What we know is he was blind. How he sees now, we have no clue. And to avoid putting themselves in a situation where they are at risk, they say, ask him, he is of age. And yet he remains relentless. And finally, the world adopts the third and final phase, where if you remain strong throughout all of this, they then have no choice but to cast you out. And this is what happens to the blind man. And keep in mind, this blind man so far has not even seen Jesus Christ. His eyes were opened, but he did not see Jesus Christ because the Lord stepped away from the scene as he was washing his eyes. And yet this man's faith, he is willing to be cast out of the synagogue. This man, it hasn't even been a few days that his eyes were opened and he finally gets to see the beauty of the synagogue. And yet he is already risking the fact of being cast out. And he stands before the Pharisees and he proclaims boldly, it is a beautiful thing that you do not know where he came from. Because now we have seen that God has come to us. And in their pride, they turn to him and say, you are attempting to teach us. How many times has the world told you? How many times has the world treated you as if you were ignorant? How many times has the world told you you are foolish and weak, and that is why you resort to faith? You do not resort to logic. You do not resort to science. You do not resort to anything that is fathomable. You are in your weakness and you adopt faith. And when they have no answer for you, they cast you out. I want to read to you what Father and St. John Chrysostom has to say about this. The Jews had cast him out of the temple, and the Lord of the temple found him. He was isolated from destructive companionship, and he met with the source of salvation. He was humiliated by those who humiliated the Lord, and so the Lord of hosts honored him. That is how the truth grants rewards. Similarly, when he relinquished the possessions of the world, when we relinquish the possessions of the world, we will truly gather confidence in the world to come. If we face troubles on earth, we will find the rest in heaven. If we are insulted for the sake of God, we will be honored in this life and the one to come. The story does not finish with him being cast out. The story finishes with Christ finding him yet again. Christ went to him when he was blind. Christ healed him when he was blind. And yet, despite the fact that he attempted to stand strong on his own two feet, Christ had to go to him yet again. And he found him as he was cast out. And he asks him the most important question you will ever be asked. Do you believe in the Son of God? What was the answer of the blind man? Christ says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Who is he that I may believe in him? What did he tell the Pharisees? A man named Jesus. A man named Jesus. And now the Lord presents with him a completely different question. Do you believe in the Son of God, not the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of God? And when he reveals himself to him and he says, "I am he," he says, "I believe." My beloved, despite the fact that he was washed, and despite the fact that his eyes were opened, he did not know Christ until that moment. How long has it been since I was baptized into the Orthodox faith? How long has it been since the church took me and it buried me with Christ and it rose me again three times into that baptismal font? How many years have passed since that moment where through chrismation I received the Holy Spirit? And yet even today, Christ knocks on the door of my heart and he says, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The Lord, why are you asking that question? I am baptized. Of course I believe. And he says, "No." No. Yes, you are baptized. But do you believe? Do you believe? And sometimes in my weakness, I turn to God and I say, "Who is he, Lord? Who are you? Do I know you? Have I met you?" And what is the purpose of Lent? What is the purpose of the church inserting this very reading for us right before we receive the Lord on Palm Sunday? So that we can be truthful in answering that question. Who is he? Is he simply a righteous man by which we hope our children copy his virtues? Or is he truly God and Savior in our lives? Is he the Word of God incarnate, yes or no? And if he is, can I boldly endure the persecution of this world to be able to say, "Lord, I believe"? You see, it is when he visits me again and knocks on the door of my heart and asks me that question. Only then can truly I be ready for the beauty of what is about to happen during Passion Week. To be able to look at the mangled body of God, of Christ the Savior on the cross, and still be able to say, "That is not Christ the victim. That is Christ the victor. This is Christ who has defeated death through his death." Am I ready to say that? St. Athanasius says something absolutely beautiful. He says, the Lord God did not come into the world to make himself a display, but rather to make himself available to any man who wishes to call on him. He did not come so that he can come into the world and say, you wanted to see God? Well, here I am. Take a look. This is God. He did not come to put himself on display. He came to make himself available to you and I, so that in the fact that I am blind and my eyesight was restored, the only hope I have is not in seeing again, but rather in recognizing him. The prayer that I have for both you and for myself is that in this moment, as we are truly approaching the resurrection of our Lord God and Savior, and as we are about to go through the different steps of enduring the passion with him, that in this very moment I can answer that question truthfully. When he looks at me and knocks on my heart and says, do you believe in the Son of God? That I can boldly say, I believe, O Lord. To him be the glory, now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray and then go downstairs. God's worthy to pray to you thankfully, our Father who art in heaven.
Father, and the grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the